This is Naked by the Future Farm, where entrepreneurship is stripped to its vulnerable core. Brought to you by Vlady Meškobrestinska and Nektarios Lolios. And remember to subscribe, follow, and rate Naked to help us share it with the world.
Hi, Vlady. How are you?
Hey. I was saying, we chatted, right, a little bit before we hit the record button, that today is a good day. Like, there were small moments that I sort of feel like warm energy. It was connected to seeing people, connecting with people, some here in Pakistan, some from our London world. And I think it was more about connected souls and minds, and it's a nourishing thing for me. So, so a good day, and also on the nourishment, my body's sort of better with me today. So I had this, sort of few days of body rejecting this living experience in Pakistan. You know, it's just like, it's telling me I still don't have that iron stomach that I would like to have. And as I wanted to sort of just like ignore it, it just doesn't allow you because of very simple reasons that you just need to visit the washroom every 5 minutes. And I know this is maybe too much, you know, oversharing, but I was thinking that it was important element of a reflection, because actually sometimes I feel like that type of kick is necessary in some moments to make you actually still and pause and be like, no, you cannot go to the office, or no, you cannot follow your pace. You just need to be in the bed, slow down, take it step by step. And so that's what I did. And today I'm grateful to it.
Do you know, have you heard of your body sending you signals that you may have been working too hard, or just putting it out there? Maybe there's a thing there that has got nothing to do with Pakistan.
Yeah. I think in this case is though, a little bit more like, hey, don't be as confident about being Pakistani when it comes to, you know, like immunity and everything. So yeah, I took it quite wild in the past few days. So I paid the price. Whew, so anyhow, but how are you, buddy? I know it's sort of a not an easy period today. Or
yeah.
So tell yours.
I'm actually okay. That 5 minutes before we started talking, somebody in my building started drilling, and I thought this is just the icing on the cake of a turbulent 24 hours. I'm thinking, why now? Why today? But if there is some gentle drilling and hammering noises in the background, I apologize, but it should be manageable. So I'm okay. I had 2 weeks where I worked out of Gran Canaria, and it was glorious, which, it was particularly good because I went in there with no expectations. I actually went there with a lot of bias because Gran Canaria was, when I grew up in Germany, the kind of the mass tourism destination, which was full of German restaurants, and you're more likely to get a German schnitzel than you would get Spanish food. And there was a bit of that.
Okay.
There was a bit of that, but at the same time where we were, it was just the apartment was like literally 100 meters from the beach. Mm-hmm. And when I read it advertised, it was like, yeah, we'll be working anyway. But then you realize that you can actually have a call of a break between calls of half an hour, and you just go out, or you take your calls walking to the beach. So I literally had a reset of my energy, my well-being, everything in a very
easy. That's so good to hear.
It felt like an easy way to do this, because it's not far away. It's a 4-hour flight, but it's not expensive. Anyway, long story short, it was very nice, and we were sad to leave, but we were also happy to come home. And then on the way to the airport, I got a message that my favorite uncle passed away, and that kind of shook me a bit. But one of the feelings I had was, not again, because the last 4 years for me have been very much like there's a sequence of four and a half years sequence of experience of loss. So I've been sort of trying to get my head around all different aspects of this. But then when we were talking about what to talk about today, we kind of felt that we both have a reason to talk about grief and grieving. And So in a way, it felt quite topical. But overall, I'm okay. Yeah. It's sunny in London, which always makes a difference.
Yeah. Maybe before we go to on the topic we want to talk about together, which, by the way, I thought this is interesting, how we sort of landed on it jointly, right, yesterday, because I was thinking, like, what is it and what am I going through in those last few days? And we'll share more. And it was grief, but from a very different place. And then I wrote the question to you and you responded, one of the topics was grief and because of what has happened. And I was like, it's just nice, like, you know, how we sort of see each other and feel each other in a way. Or maybe this is vibe. Just coincidence, but I like to think it's the other way. But you know, like, you said this interesting thing when you were describing this experience with Gran Canaria, which you said, I didn't have any expectation. And I want to ask you about this because it's maybe a little bit of derail, but I think it's important because I remember when I think it was one of the previous sort of getaways, and you had some sort of expectation of how you want the experience to be like. And then there was this clash because it just didn't happen for all kinds of reasons you couldn't control. And I remember even here on The Naked, we were talking about it. And so where does this, like, I went with no expectation came from? Was it a learned sort of experience or, yeah, tell me.
Interesting. So I had two experiences where it wasn't what I wanted it to be. The first one was when we were in Italy, because the place that we were in had we were in Lake Como, but we were staying at a friend's house, which was a lovely house. But we were struggling with the Wi-Fi, so I had to walk to the cemetery to take my calls.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. And actually, I was talking, the first time I spoke to Joshua and Masawa, I was sitting in a car because it was raining. I had a nice view from the car, but it was odd. So that was okay. And then we did some time in Greece, and not really spent time on the island, but in Athens in November. And for me, it was a little bit of a, for way also to get to experience Athens, which I've fallen in love with. Well, I didn't realize that he was back-to-back calls and he didn't have that easy access to something that wasn't the room with a desk. So he was not particularly, he didn't fall in love with Athens. He was very much frustrated for just not being able to even go for a walk. And having had that opposite made a huge difference. It was he who started in Gran Canaria and said, look, this is amazing. We should come again, which was like, yes, we found something that works for both of us. But no, there was actually, no, it wasn't learning. It was really, the idea was to go and spend some time with my co-founder, who was already there on the other business on Radish. And I thought, okay, fine, he's there. I'm just going to go there to be close and it's easy and it's a change of scenery, but there was no other motivation like in the past.
Got it.
Like, oh, let's just.
Absolutely. I the reason why I also asked is that one of the things, so even today we went on a tour of co-workings in Pakistan and we are trying to find a place where we feel sort of home, but there is also just that you are equipped to do what you do, productivity, efficiency, all of this, right? And it's quite important for me for the flow. And I have some sort of expectations and then you arrive and you realize that you have to work with your expectation very much so. And it's an interesting internal process, you know, like sometimes it just takes longer, but like, it's a little bit of, I felt like I had an inner fight that I didn't even, I did a little bit annoy my coworkers by putting it out there. Like it's like a blah, like you put it out there in the words. And then, but fairly quickly you sort of, we just landed on, okay, this is what it is. We're working with it. So I know it's a different context, but I feel like, you know, as entrepreneurs or professionals, like the question around or the whole idea of expectations is a big topic. like, and how do you sort of let go? And we keep revisiting letting go and re sort of calibrating the expectations quite a lot on Naked anyhow.
Okay, I'm going to...
Yeah,
I'm gonna
small make, derail.
No, that's okay. So I think we can continue talking about this if you want to.
Really?
And then we do a separate one on grief. It's an interesting subject, right? Mm. And it's an interesting subject, which for me, there's the expectations, but because it's also linked to exploring other ways of working. That's a direction that could easily go, but we can also just close the bracket and go back to the heavy stuff.
Let's think about it. What expectations mean for us, maybe related to ways of working and where we are. And I certainly do feel like the 4 years experience in Pakistan has been a great lesson on a personal growth path, 100%, beyond probably anything I expected. So yeah, let's come back to it. And maybe we can reach out to you guys out there and you might have your own experiences and we can sort of see what resonates with you. But so the topic that we beautifully align on for today, which maybe doesn't have to be that heavy as we give it attribute of being heavy, but was around grief. And when I reached out to you and I thought about it, the reason why I thought about it was first coming from a very personal place. So Nadim, who is our co-founder in Future Farm and who is also my life partner, which is the very first time I'm sharing this on Naked, I'm aware of it, but I think that's probably another episode which I would love to do at the point when we are ready. But so Nadim has lost his mom about 3 weeks ago while we are here in Pakistan, and she was here in a different city in Lahore. And we were together in another city at the south in Karachi. And they were very close as human beings and family. They're very bonded. So he was very sort of touched and it had a major impact on him. And I don't have to go in too much into details, but basically what has happened is that he flew out to be there with his family. Actually, he flew out before she passed away because he had a feeling, he had intuition. And already that was actually, I thought, quite important that I wanted to share, which was sort of part of grieving process, that he was already in a way saying goodbye. And I wasn't there for all kinds of cultural reasons, mostly cultural reasons that we can go into a different time. And for me, this whole experience, because personally, I haven't yet lost, apart from my grandfather, I haven't had a major loss in terms of death in my family or my loved ones, let's put it that way. So it's a very new experience. And I remember being alone in Karachi for about a week. And I remember going on Google and I basically wrote, how do you support your loved one when they have a loss of their loved one, when they're grieving and there is a death, et cetera, et cetera. And there was this, obviously there was like plenty of articles and et cetera. And I actually did find like some thoughtful reflections which helped me to ground me, and I felt like it gave me some tools and equipped me. So I just wanted to sort of reflect on this experience of being in a place of supporting somebody, being on a side to somebody who's grieving, where I think we can find ourselves often, and we might assume we know, but we don't know. I did not know. Mm-hmm. I remember when you and I talked and you told me, you actually approached me with this, like, you might not know, right? Like, it can be quite overwhelming. You want to be there for the person and you don't know how to, you know, what was interesting. I remember that emotion when you told me that from a good place, I felt like, you know what? I actually felt quite calm the one thing that resonated with me, and I think it was both intuition, but also it was among all the tips and tricks, which is awful, but okay, you know, some sort of thoughtful recommendations. There was this reflection that says, like, there is no one way how people grieve, how they go through it. Don't try to be necessarily inventive around all the ways you can be out there. Just be available, be accessible. And I think that's what helped me a lot, because I was foremost, I was trying to be present for him. I think where I want to maybe close this one and then bring another loop, but I want to sort of share with you, like, hear your thoughts and your way of experiencing this, is in all of this, there was this layer of how do you support your loved one who's grieving? And then for me, it was like a major learning. And somehow in this experience, it felt actually okay, but I realized I don't know what it's supposed to, or assume a lot we do know. But there was the other layer, which was, how do I feel in all of this? And we had a therapy session together with Nadim a week ago. And the therapist asked, so she was heavily focused on Nadim and helping him to sort of navigate the grief process. And then she turned to me and she's like, so Vladi, how are you? And how was this whole thing for you? And I remember telling her that there were some moments where my ego was coming a little bit into the whole equation, where I felt like, hey, there's no attention on me. You know, like, I'm alone in Karachi and nobody's like, and I know, like, there was a little bit of guilt around it. Like, that I felt like they're all there. And I was like, come on, he lost his mom. Like, what are you doing? But then I was kind to myself. I was like, hey, there's also Vladi in this. So be with yourself, be kind to yourself. And we created other support mechanisms for me, like other people who stayed with me, around me. But I remember when I said this to the therapist, and she said, it's absolutely normal and okay. And so it's some structure, less structured thoughts, but it's a raw thoughts around my sort of latest experience of grief. And it opened up also for today, this whole new world of, I wanted to look into what it means in context of entrepreneurs, but we can open that door in a while.
That was a lot.
Yeah, I didn't probably even realize. It didn't feel like, to be honest, but in a while I was like, oh my God, I'm speaking for, you know, there was a long monologue, but it does feel like processed feeling. So that's good. And it's also something that I'm, for that reason, sort of ready to share and just talk to you about, frankly.
When we had a kind of little prep conversation about the entrepreneurship angle, I was thinking, I wonder where this is going to go, because you're still in it. I mean, Nadim is in it as the person who's grieving, but you're so totally in it, even trying to find your way of being with him, being there for him, right? I remember our chat when his mom passed away. So I had my two boyfriends before I met Wayne, they both lost their mom when we were together. And they both were the youngest child of a large family where the dad had passed away before. So there was bizarre kind of parallels, right? So they were both the spoiled child, losing the mom, very close to the mom. And I found myself the first time very much in your situation, Vladi, which is, I'm the one who's there, I'm the support, I'm the one who knows what to do, and I didn't know what to do. This was pre-Google, but there was also an element of my partner at the time just telling me, you don't understand me, and there's nothing you can do to get there. Mm. He didn't use these words, but that's practically what he said. Mm. And I found that offensive. It's like, how? I'm the person who can figure things out, blah, blah. So the ego was there, but there was also this thing that for the first time I thought, there's something that's inaccessible to me and I need to learn to deal with this. I need to accept that because that's their journey. It's their experience. I have no frame of reference, as you said. I'd never lost anybody before. So I can totally relate to what you're saying. And it was really hard for me to also not take it personally when they withdrew. Because that was the thing that for me was a struggle. It's like my partner at the time, he just wasn't particularly vocal. He didn't process things in conversation.
Yeah,
he didn't reach out to talk. And I had my own stuff going on with that. But there was something there where when it happened again a few years later, I was with many years later with my next partner, I was better prepared to accept that I don't play a role in this. So the only thing I can be there is, it's a bit like a pillar in a room, in a column, right? If they want to come and lean against, it's fine. But I don't move. I don't have an active role in this. But there is a segue to entrepreneurship for me, right? Because when Wei and I met, I was already much older and had a lot more life experience, but I still hadn't had that experience of losing, as you said, somebody close to you, myself, right? And then at the end of 2018, my dad died the day after I walked away from Startup Bootcamp and Rainmaking. And I was already emotionally prepared for the roller coaster that walking away from my business would mean for me emotionally, but I wasn't prepared for having to deal with that physical experience of grieving a parent and all the stuff that it unearths, right? But I was also better equipped to articulate my needs, I thought. And then I realized I wasn't, because this was new, right? The reason I suggested, by the way, that we talk about grief was not so much because my uncle died. It was because for the last 2 months, we've been telling the story of my new business, Radish, to potential investors to get some feedback. And part of it is, I mean, as you tell your story, as somebody who's about to raise money, it's about building credibility, about all the cool stuff you've done in the past. And I always have to talk about my Rainmaking instead of bootcamp experience and the fintech stuff. And I look back with a sense of pride, because it's an achievement and it does give me credibility for what I'm looking to do now. But at the same time, it's always with this heaviness that there's still something there that I haven't fully processed, because that was my identity. That was everything. And I don't find it as easy to say, because it wasn't like, oh, I exited the business, I made 100 million, and I'm building the new thing. It was, I've done this for a few years. And sometimes people ask, so why did you stop? And then you have to kind of dig into something that's still uncomfortable, but also into something that makes you sometimes think, this could have gone on to be bigger, better, and I just walked away from it. And I left that part of my identity behind. And I'm sort of tapping into it because I need it. So there is something there where I notice that, you know what, you can build something amazing, but when it's over for whatever reason, or you can try and do something when it's over for whatever reason, it's not different from if I kind of compare the time frames to when my dad died, because it's more or less 4 years, 3.5 years, I still have moments where I think about my dad and it overwhelms me. Mm-hmm. And some of it is about what if, and some of it is about achievement, and some of it is about recognition, and some of it is about being seen, and all these kind of messed up bag of things, right? So there's this lens. There's the lens of the people that support, which is a different lens, right? There's a lens of,
there's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah, we can go into
There's absolutely a lot. And, you know, I was reading one story today about entrepreneur who lost her business, and it was during COVID. So I think this whole experience of grief, of losing what you're building as an entrepreneur, got amplified through COVID. So I thought even more timely. But regardless, she actually... share the timeline because she was reflecting on it after many years. And she said it took her about 5 years to sort of feel regenerated in a way where she felt that there was a closure. And the other thing that I found quite, there were a few things that I find nearly fascinating around this, right? So naturally, so first of all, I mean, when we say the grief, we, I think, very naturally connected to that personal grief of losing loved one, death, divorce, breakup, loss of friend. I had a major grief after I lost somebody I thought is a soulmate. And even today, and that was 2 years ago, and even today I get triggered and quite emotional because it wasn't something I chose. So anyhow, but so that's what I, right? We normally relate to grief, I think most of us. And then there is this whole world of about 582 million of people who decide to go on the path of entrepreneurship. And it's this life path is intertwined with grief moments. And we talk about some of them, right? You have a co-founder divorce. You lose somebody that you thought you married for a business. You lose that key team member. Even today, when I imagine, like, I lose Umer, who is like, I feel like I groomed him for, and he's just so amazing. And I'm like, I cannot imagine, like, that's a major, you know, again, I get emotional, right? And then there's this whole big thing around losing what, I mean, the experience you shared, when you walk away from something you were building. And I remember also when Nadim mentioned this to me, when he walked away from Anthemis, he told me it wasn't an option for me that Anthemis wouldn't be the thing for me till end of the life. He was building it as a legacy. Mm. And then it happened. And there was this major grief, major loss. So I think the fact that there is that acknowledgement, right? That there is, like, it's full of grief. You know what? What's funny, like, I was doing a little bit of research and I found our friend, Michael Freeman. Mm. So the professor and psychiatrist, clinical professor and psychiatrist, Michael Freeman, who has been studying mental health of entrepreneurship for 15 years, and he's been on Naked, et cetera, et cetera. So he shared in one article that he was following some researchers in Finland, who I have it here, who took brain scans of entrepreneurs who had lost a business and then compared them to those of parents who've lost a child. It, when I read it, I was like, oh my God, this is nearly like a little bit of like thin ice. Okay. And basically what they found out is that there is the same kind of footprint in the brain between the two groups. So he was just in some way explaining the vastness, the fullness of that loss that can happen in grief for somebody who's building business and there is that loss. So yeah, I think it's just, there are a few more things I want to talk to you about, but I think it just requires that acknowledgement that there is something like this. And I don't feel or see enough of conversation around it again and again.
Juan, one of our very first guests talked about this.
Right?
Yes. This whole question about what am I if I'm no longer fulfilling that cosmic mission, and how this sends me into a bit of a spiral. Actually, when we did the research before we even started the Future Farm, we had, I have a sort of, I wouldn't call him a friend, but let's an acquaintance, who was a successful entrepreneur who had an exit where he pocketed about 150 million US. And he was at that point 26. And he didn't want to talk about it publicly. He didn't even want to be interviewed by you, remember? Excuse me. But the interesting thing for me is I've been sort of following his journey, and he's still spiraling. I mean, I see it as spiraling, right? I see it as somebody who's trying to find their way, spending a lot of the money. So practically, he's in a different city on Instagram. Even through COVID, he would be in Bali or whatever. And a very hedonistic life that's very much pleasure-driven, But if I link it back to the conversation we had 2.5 years ago, it was, I don't know what to do with my life. I have this huge fear of whatever I touch next will not be as big as the thing I did, right? And there were all these things that for us, we would probably recognize as grief moments, right? But there was definitely a loss of identity, loss of purpose, loss of sense of direction, loss of context, right? All these things. And I think it's interesting to see how there's the macro picture, right? What you're building and the thing. But when you mentioned the small grief moments, it's for me, the fundraising round is a bit like that, right? Where you go, where you go and talk to VCs, and you get all this excitement, you invest a lot of it. And when they
micro griefs.
Yeah, when they turn around at the very last minute and say, you know what, there's a it's not you, it's me conversation, and you don't want to hear it, right?
Yes.
When we did the accelerator, we had this lengthy process of selecting the startups. And every time we would have a new program, I would sit down the managing director of this particular city and prepare them for something that I knew they would not listen to me. I said, look, you're going to go through this process. You're going to select your favorite startups to apply. You're going to fall in love with them because you want them in the program. And probably 5 out of your top 20 at the very last minute will turn around and say, sorry, we can't make it. We can't give you the equity. Our shareholders don't agree, whatever it is. And people go, yeah, yeah, yada, yada, yada. And one day I get a message from one of our COOs and says, the MD just shut his PC down and walked away. Didn't even say goodbye. What do I do?
Oh, wait.
And I said, what do you mean? And she goes, yeah, he literally just made a funny noise, shut his laptop down, stood up and walked out of the office. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, what process are you going through? And she goes, well, in the selection process. And we talked about this afterwards. And there was this overwhelming sense of, I can't deal with this because I was so invested in these people. And it took him literally weeks to get over it. Because even when the program was running, there was this thing in his head. But there was this one that could have been perfect. So now I'm digressing a little bit, but these micro moments is something we never really, I never really kind of had an awareness that this is a way of looking at it. Because when we talk about the high highs and the low lows, they're sort of linked, because when you fall into a low, it's usually because it's like losing something really valuable or somebody really valuable. So
yeah, because you just care. Like, I feel like you, at that moment, you want to just hack that metaphorical, symbolical business of yours, the baby and stuff, right? But that part around exit, I thought it's also super interesting. And thanks for bringing it up, because I feel like this culture of success and celebration, and it's like this big party, because we exited and we've been buyout, whatever that means, is like, surely, probably for a lot of people, it's part of that. But then there's this big part of like, of saying goodbye. And this has been with you 24/7 for such a long time, that identity piece. There was this one question from one of you guys when we asked before, it's connected before this recording. And the question was, how do entrepreneurs tackle the transition? Because this person basically shared that after he had a successful business, which he exited, he was struggling to master courage and motivation to come back to the job market and hunt for jobs. So how do you sort of deal with the grief of finding the next opportunity? And it made me think, I was reflecting, I was researching a little bit, and there was this one thing that stood out for me, which was ritual and celebratory moment of a sort, but I think it's a little bit more of a ritual. And basically the idea was that, you know, when we lose a loved one, we have different ways of the closure, right? There are different types of rituals, but there is, in most of the cases, some formal way of saying goodbye. We come together as community, or different ways, but there is that ritual. I don't think we have many rituals around those grief when the business goes. I feel like even more so, let's say you lose your business in COVID time or exit, you celebrate, but then you sort of stay alone on that mountain and everybody else goes into their own lives, back to their homes, and you sort of stay alone there. And it's like, how do I deal with all of this? So I was just thinking, and there was a conversation with a psychologist where she was actually recommending that think about some small celebration, ritual, whatever the practice of a closure, of saying goodbye, of just bringing things together for you, maybe reflection. And that resonated with me. I felt like that's probably, it made me think that that's probably the very first step I would feel like doing. But I guess you have to get there as well. So probably just like letting go and then coming to that moment when I feel equipped of doing some sort of a ritual that even allow me to maybe look forward and not caring so much with me that is unresolved and messy and all of this. So yeah, that resonated. What do you think? You're smiling.
I'm smiling because this goes in, for me in two different directions. So the Greek traditions have built-in rituals to keep you busy, especially the first few days after a person dies. It's just doing stuff, and usually it involves being around other people. So you're not alone, but you're also busy. You have a responsibility. So you have to do the 3-day memorial service, the 9-day memorial service, the 40-day memorial service, and all that. It's just to have it in the calendar. So you actually have something, and it's usually bringing the community together. And for me, community is important in this, or people. But there's the other thing, but more specifically. So I'm a big fan of rituals because it takes away the decision-making process. It's just there, and you do it because it's prescribed, if it's in a cultural context or in a religious context, right? But specifically to the question, there is also something there that touches upon one of my favorite subjects, which is permission. I think there's also an element of it's okay to drift. It's a big thing, right? And for people who didn't have the big exit, or see them trying hard for 5 years and then it doesn't go anywhere and they give up, in inverted commas. We definitely don't celebrate those. We definitely don't celebrate the fact that, hey, you know what? You had this really hard time and you managed to come out of this without being a jerk. It's a reason to celebrate for me. But it's also okay to give yourself permission just to go through that valley of, or the roller coaster, call it what you like, because you're not equipped for this, right? Very much like what you, how you started with. I never had this experience before, so I didn't really know what to do. A lot of people, especially first-time founders, just imagine somebody who's starting a business for whatever reason, never done this before, made all the mistakes, had all the learnings, but in the end, the business for whatever reason didn't take off and they walked away from it. It's okay to say you're going to have a bumpy ride for a couple of years, and let's just get through this somehow, find support, find help. And not being confident to go back into the market is one thing, but part of every other process of dealing with adverse situations is just doing it and being out there and having conversations. Maybe a step. So
I was thinking on a similar note of the conversation and the connection, right?
People are important in the positive way. When people, founders tell us all the time, is like peer conversations, right? But I worry a bit about this glorification of, okay, fine, I put this behind, let's just get on to the next thing. And you go, you've come out of a difficult relationship and you go into the next one straight away. Everybody will tell you don't do it, but for some reason it's like, yeah, your old business failed, just on to the next one.
Let's just go. No, I hear totally. And I nearly feel like it's just honoring all that time and your energy and your love. It's honoring that relationship with that baby entity, business, whatever you want to call it, that you've been building. That's how I felt. And so whether rituals or, and when you said about the connectivity, maybe this could be a nice way to close, but I was talking about this just today in a car with my Pakistani team, and it really resonated with them. A lot of them are serial entrepreneurs. And the one thing they said, you know what, Vladi, like, this is an awesome subject, like, very interesting. And they asked me, so what do you guys do then for people? And I was like, well, we raise the awareness. So we like bring this up to we talk about. And they said, ah, oh, interesting, good. And so, but what then? Because they said, it nearly feels like there's that last leg where connecting people, or, and what I want to say is that connecting people with others who can join you on your island, who maybe went through a similar experience, who feel you. And whether we're going to ever do it through Future Farm doesn't matter. That's absolutely secondary. But I just felt that it was a beautiful sort of reflection, and maybe now a closure of saying, hey, there are lots of people out there who will share and who will sort of want to be in that safe space with you. So protect your island and reach out, maybe invite people that will be there with you and will, you know, be caring. And it will take some time, as you are saying, Nectarius, let allow yourself to also just be and let go and drift. And maybe do a small ritual. So much more to unpack, but
yeah, it feels like the beginning of a series of conversations on the subject.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Vladi.
Likewise. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Stay well. Ciao, bye.
You've been listening to Naked by the Future Farm, where entrepreneurship is stripped to its vulnerable core. To learn more about our work, sign up to our newsletter or visit thefuturefarm.co, where you can also apply to be a Naked guest. And remember, subscribe, follow, and rate Naked to help share it with the world.